I thought about spiritually mature as it compares to spiritual maturity, and realized, or at least in my heart and mind, it appeared that spiritually mature is more about being, and spiritual maturity is about doing.
You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
Hey team, today we're talking about the spiritually mature proficiency, and it's a first time ever on the podcast in that we have two guests, Jason and Johnny Rumbo. Guys, it's great to have you both here on the podcast today.
Thanks. We're excited about being here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you guys coming in. We're here in Atlanta, Georgia. We've got AMSs from across the nation assembled for the Replant Lab, and it's been a great time today, rubbing shoulders with these brothers, but I'm particularly excited about having you two here. For those of you that are listening, Johnny and Jason are father and son. Jason, the son, is a replanting pastor at Hope Church in Nashville, Tennessee, and Johnny, the father, is the associational mission strategist for Lexington Association in South Carolina. Jason and Johnny co-wrote the Spiritually Mature Proficiency for the SBCAL book for associational mission. Guys, before we get to the questions, tell me briefly about your families and your current ministry. Let's start with Jason.
Yeah, so I am in Nashville, Tennessee. We are about a mile and a half from the city center, right near close to the Nissan Stadium where the Tennessee Titans play. Oh, good. We can actually see downtown from our front yard. And man, we are in the heart of the city, in a really interesting part of the city. It's very angsty, very hipster, very, everybody's very, very particular about the way they drink their coffee, you know, like that kind of part of the city. And I'm there with my wife, Kelly, of 14 and a half years, and we've got four kids. My oldest is 12, and my youngest just turned 4, even though he feels like he's going on 40. He's very, very a lively kind of guy. And we will be there this coming June, will be 2 years since we've been in the city. And I am a replanting pastor, and so we actually relaunched the church to be Hope Church. April of 2019.
So good. So good. And Johnny?
Yeah. Well, I live in Lexington, South Carolina. Always emphasize South Carolina when I say Lexington, because about every state has one.
Yeah.
And so been there 24 years as the Association Mission Strategist. Lexington is an association that has 77 churches in it. And my wife, Valerie, just a beautiful lady and someone in whom I love and just cherish a lot, and just someone in whom has just been a person that I've been just very grateful for 43 years to be able to do ministry with. We have two children. Jason, our son, is with us here today. And of course, I need to say this. You know, his beautiful wife, Kelly, is just someone who's been a great addition to our family. And four kids, four wow. grandkids for us. And so we're just especially excited about that as well. Then we have a daughter, Jamie. And Jamie has a son. And so that makes our fifth grandchild. We love all of our grandchildren and love our kids. God just blessed us in a special way.
Man, that's awesome. Well, both of you guys have been well known in these circles already and working through the proficiencies and people talking about the book coming out. By the time this podcast hits, the book will already be out. And so your proficiency, that is spiritually mature. I want to talk about that today. And let me start with Johnny. Johnny, when you were choosing the biblical text for the spiritually mature proficiency, you went to Titus. Tell the audience what led you there.
Yeah. Well, you know, it could have been a lot of people because in the scripture, there's just a lot of spiritually mature people. So I actually have thought about it myself. Why Titus? And as I thought about it, I thought about, well, why not, you know, guys like Timothy, why not Barnabas, why not Peter, you know, why not James, you know, and or you could even say Jesus or Paul, but so why Titus? But Titus, you know, one day I was reading some scripture and I turned to the book of Titus and started reading from chapter 1. It's a very quick, easy 30-minute read. And as I was reading in the book, I just saw how Titus was someone whom Paul saw spiritually mature. Because undoubtedly, when he looked at the man Titus, not that he didn't see this in Timothy, you know, I said that one time. I said, well, I wonder why Paul didn't choose Timothy, and somebody said, well, because he was over at the church at Ephesus. You know? But instead, he chose Titus. He took him to the island, he left him there, and he gave him an instructional letter on what to do. And Paul would not have done that had not he believed that Titus was a spiritually mature man.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, and so as you read through the book of Titus and you start seeing these characteristics of a spiritually mature man, what you begin realizing is, okay, well then God had a plan. And Paul had a purpose in writing this letter to Titus. And it's not just because he saw a spiritually mature man in Titus, but he wanted there to be spiritually mature people in the church, churches at Crete. And so he gave instructions to Titus on how to do that. And in Titus 1, he talks about the elders and the leaders. In Titus 2, he talks about basically the men and, I mean, the women, the children, and those, the lay people. And then in chapter 3, he's talking about, okay, this is how you can be good community citizens.
I love that. You know, you hit a principle there as I'm listening to you talk, that we as associational, I say we as associational missions because it's such a dear part of my life, even though I'm not currently in AMS. But we sometimes forget to share with our pastors. And so many of our pastors are struggling for relevance in their church, or they're struggling through times that are economically difficult or spiritually deficient. And the question always comes back, you know, God uses a tithing pastor to have a church that tithes, a spiritual pastor to have a spiritual church. I think it's a core leadership principle that God is not going to give you more than you are yourself. And so I appreciated that when I heard you say that about Titus. I just think we overlook that sometimes in the church.
Good word.
Yeah. So this next one's for you, Jason. How do you see the book of Titus encouraging the development of the spiritually mature?
Well, one of the things that I love about the book of Titus is that from its onset, it is all about the gospel, and it's about how a person grows in the gospel and what the fruit of that growth is in their life and the lives of those that they're discipling and the lives of those that their disciples are discipling and the way it plays out in the city. And I think that as it spans over those three chapters, you really do see sort of this progressive sort of thing happening. And I love what you just said, because I think that that's it. You know, Paul puts Titus in the city and leaves him there because he is seeing all of these qualities in his life that that the city needs to have and will eventually benefit from as a result of Titus's faithfulness in the gospel. And so just with the book of Titus in general, you know, he starts off in chapter 1 talking about the qualifications for elders, and each of these qualifications are rooted in a relationship with Christ. They're rooted Amen. In the gospel itself. And then from that, you get to into chapter 2, where he talks about teaching sound doctrine. Well, sound doctrine comes from a right understanding of the gospel and a right understanding of who Jesus was and why he came to the earth. And then in chapter 3, he says, you know, be ready for good works, and how this is, you know, it's one thing for us, especially as believers, to grow in the gospel, but if that gospel never gets out of the walls of the church, then really it's not doing much of anything. Yeah. It just becomes that kind of social clique or that social order that we never really take beyond the walls. And so I think it's so important to have those kind of things rooted in our minds and grounded in our minds. And as a person is reading through this, and as we talk through our part of the spiritual maturity and being spiritually mature in this, what we see is that a person who wants to grow in this area has to first and foremost be rooted and grounded in the gospel. Jesus says in John 15, you know, that I am the vine and you are the branches. And one of the things that's very interesting about that is he says that being a part of the vine is not enough, because he says that even those who are a part of the vine, the branches that are part of the vine, don't produce fruit. They get cut off and thrown in the fire.
Yeah.
But those that are connected to him and are part of the vine that do produce fruit get pruned. So either way, we're going to get cut, right? We're either going to get awesome. Cut off or cut
yeah.
from.
Yeah.
And in the midst of this, what the book of Titus does is it shows us that those who are rooted in the gospel, who are growing in grace and growing in the gospel, will produce fruit. And Titus was just a great example of what that looks like firsthand. And so I think that's why he's a great encourager in this. And I think that as Paul unpacks this further, it really helps him to be that example that we can kind of all look to and go, man, this is a real man. You know, he's somebody that we can relate to. He's somebody who's in a context that was hostile to the gospel, somebody who is in a context that was really challenging, but yet we see God use him in mighty and powerful ways.
Yeah, those are great insights. I really appreciate that. Hey, Johnny, I'm going to address you on this, but I've listened to both of you speak, and I'm very familiar with you guys, and you guys have been pretty calculated in the terms that you use. I've heard you use spiritual maturity, and I've heard you use spiritually mature. So do you see a difference when referencing those two terms, spiritual maturity and spiritually mature?
That's a great question. You know, In choosing the words, I was actually assigned spiritually mature. And so I thought about spiritually mature as it compares to spiritual maturity, and realized, or at least in my heart and mind, it appeared that spiritually mature is more about being, and spiritual maturity is about doing, or something maybe that you have already become. And I think probably even, you know, we can put this in the sake of, let's say, a conference. You know, you go to a conference and you try to do the things and practice the things that would be that we would consider to be spiritually mature. However, sometimes when you finish the conference, the goal is to be someone who has spiritual maturity. So we have to sort of work through that a little bit. I love the metaphor that Jason just talked about, you know, the roots and the branches and the fruit. And I think that the best way that I know how to describe the difference in what we're talking about when we use those two terms is to use that metaphor. For example, spiritual maturity is the nutrients that go into the root system that feeds into the branches, and when they become healthy, then they produce fruit, which is a spiritually mature person. Or maybe another metaphor might be like the body. The body has a blood system that runs through it, and that the blood system and the health of that system helps you to have a healthy body. The body is the spiritually mature person. So spiritually mature person is someone whom we're talking about, because this is what we're talking about as a proficiency for the associational mission strategist to be able to be, as he's considering all as his responsibility in his line of ministry. You know, another thing I think that would be important just to talk about this is they're not in competition against each other. They work with each other. They need each other. Yeah. And so when we work through being one or the other, I think it does help us to understand that we can, you know, and this is a pretty striking statement to say this, but, you know, we can focus on spiritual maturity and believe that we've got it, but yet not necessarily be a spiritually mature person.
Yeah.
And so once we start grappling with that and come to at least try to understand that, then we become probably a little bit closer to what it might mean.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of profound. And I imagine this is one of those podcasts that guys are going to hit the 30-second rewind a couple times to listen to that again. And guys, don't neglect to do that. Listen to that a couple times and let that resonate in your soul and let the Lord speak to you through that. What is that difference between spiritually mature and spiritual maturity? Hey, so we're talking about being spiritual. We're talking about being mature. So I'm going to go for the jugular on the young guy here. Hey, Jason, are you spiritually mature?
Oh, that's one of those questions where if I say yes, then I sound really arrogant. And if I say no, then it's like, well, then why are you a pastor? You know,
yeah,
like,
why are you on the podcast? Yeah, like, that's kind of why I'm asking it. Yeah.
And thank you for giving that question to Jason.
Yeah, yeah. You're welcome.
I like to think of it through asking the question, am I maturing spiritually? You know, spiritual maturity, I think, and in this whole thing is less about having an arrival point. You know, like Dad was just saying, like, it is possible to go through all of the behaviors and outworkings of maturity in quotation marks, but never really be mature and never really have that relationship. And I think that, you know, none of us ever graduate from the process of sanctification. It is an ongoing, lifelong process. And I think that in the midst of that, we have to understand Dallas Willard. He says that the gospel is opposed to earning. We cannot earn the grace and love and forgiveness of God, but the gospel is not opposed to effort, which means it takes a lifetime of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I think that one of the ways that to answer the question is to say, well, you'd probably need to ask my wife and ask my community of faith, those who see me on a regular basis, you know, how would they answer that question about me?
I happen to have her on the line right now.
Man, oh man, you made me sweat for a minute there. So I think that, you know, that asking those who are closest to us, and I think that we should be able to have the freedom and feel like we can honestly go to people who are closest to us and ask that question about ourselves to say, hey, would you say that I'm spiritually mature?
That's good.
And I think another way of looking at this is if you're trying to do a self-assessment, which I do think is hard, I think answering this question in community is of utmost importance. Yeah. And I think sometimes as pastors especially, we struggle sometimes with vulnerability, but ultimately it is the best thing for us. But I think that another way of measuring this, if we are going to do a little bit of a self-assessment, is to look in the rearview mirror. you know, to say, hey, over the past 12 months, have I seen areas of my life that God has revealed in my own soul where I'm struggling with an attitude or a temptation or a sin of some kind? Can I see where I have grown in that area with being able to maybe respond less in anger or less in regards to the temptation to look or think or speak before I should? In doing this, am I growing in grace? Am I growing in mercy? You know, looking at all the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about, am I growing in these areas? And sometimes in the moment, it's really hard to do because sometimes, especially when we are struggling with doubt and we're struggling with fear and anxiety, all we can see is what's in front of us. But if we look behind us, if we look in a rearview mirror and we go, but man, God was so good during those times. And I really have seen growth in these areas. Then that really helps us to be able to have that sort of understanding of, are we growing and are we spiritually mature?
Yeah, that's great. Hey, now that you have officially called all of our listeners heathens and yourself as well, I'm going to redirect away from you into your father. Hey, Johnny, what are some of the disciplines of the spiritually mature?
Yeah, great question. Well, I'm going to go back to the metaphor. Let's think about the roots. So what's the foundation? And so when you think about the spiritually mature, what's the foundation for that? And I think we would all agree with the foundation being certainly prayer, Bible study, worship, and you know, it could be some other things as well that folks might want to put into that. But very foundational to the spiritually mature person are at least those three things and probably some more. But the root system. And then there you have the branch system, which would be, you know, I'm going to say community, you know, like in small group community, the fellowship that goes on within the body of Christ. And then the service, getting involved and getting engaged in community ministry events, helping people, serving the community. And it's a service type branching out, if I could use that, even that metaphor. So you've got the root system, you've got the branch system. But what you don't have is you don't have the fruit. You've got a tree, and you might have a healthy tree. And I think we've all seen what looked to be healthy trees, but then they bore no fruit. Mm. And so this is where the spiritually mature person can be seen. You know, you asked Jason a very interesting question. I'm glad you asked him and not me, right? Okay. And so here we are. You know, we've got a good root system. We've got a good branch system. But then do we have fruit? And I think that's where the spiritually mature person can give evidence of his life, whether he is or is not a spiritually mature person. So the fruit, what are the fruit that we're looking for in a spiritually mature person? Well, wouldn't we turn to the scripture once again and just go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23? And so at this point, I'm just going to ask the listeners the same question. Are you spiritually mature? I'm not trying to take over the podcast here, Rick, but you know, so let's just ask.
Maybe I should hand it off to you because I just called them all heathens. So I may have just lost half the listeners. So next month's podcast will be led by John.
Well, here they are. Okay, let's do our own self-evaluation, okay? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Mm, that's good.
So we think about, are we spiritually mature?
Yeah.
And then I say, well, if the roots are healthy, if the branches are healthy, then there should be fruit.
Boy, that's a great way to taper off this conversation. And guys, as you're out there and you're even listening to this, you're really contemplating and thinking through the difference of that. I encourage you to just ponder that and think on that and be prayerful about that. Mm. And hey, Johnny, Jason, if anybody's listening today wants to get a hold of you and kind of touch base with you related to this, how could they get a hold of you guys?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, my email address is a good way, and it's at johnnyrumbo@gmail.com. That's a great way to email me. And I certainly give my cell phone out to everybody else. So it's 803-360-6570.
All right. Be nice, guys. No 2 a.m. phone calls. All right. Hey, guys, I always ask a final question on my podcast. I believe you guys are great leaders. Everything that I've seen and heard from both of you is indicates that. And so it's a contemplative question, but I know you've probably listened to previous podcasts, so you know what's coming. But we all know that healthy leaders have an openness to learn by questioning and reevaluating our own presuppositions. So with that being said, let me ask each of you, and feel free to chime in, what's one thing that you've recently changed your mind about?
I know for me, something that I really struggled with was being busy for Jesus. rather than allowing the Holy Spirit to really open up areas of my life where it needed work. And I've found incredible growth and incredible power coming from just practicing the spiritual disciplines in my own life. And it used to be where the spiritual disciplines were, I would read a book and I'm like, absolutely, yeah, we need to pray more. And I would just try to almost force it. Or yeah, I would fast and I would do that. But really, it was to try and almost manipulate the outcome, or at least in my own life, to kind of check it off that I had done it. And I came across a book not too long ago called Sacred Rhythms, where the author, she was just saying that, you know, the spiritual disciplines, they don't have the power in themselves to transform us. But what they do is they unlock parts of our lives that allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. And so the practice of these disciplines really help to create space and margin in our own lives. And I think that that, for me, was the biggest thing that I realized, that God doesn't need me to do his kingdom work, He allows me to be a part of what he's doing in his kingdom work. And when I slow down, and when I simply allow the Holy Spirit to do the work, I recognize that the changes that are happening at our church, the changes that are happening across our country with regards to revitalization and other conversations like that, are because God is moving and not because Jason Rumbo is doing something special or something magical. And so I think for me, the biggest thing that I've seen in my own life changing my mind on is the need to press into God more and to rely on myself much, much less.
I love that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Johnny, how would you answer that?
Yeah. Well, I think as an association mission strategist, you sometimes my strength has also been a weakness, in the sense that shepherding is a very important part of what I do. I don't tell any pastor I'm their pastor, but I'm always thrilled when they call me their pastor. And but that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of intentionality, and a lot of times, you know, just really doing a lot of things that you, the way you want to do it and the way you feel like it needs to be done. And so you just sort of grab it and you do it and you go on with it. And then sometimes you look around and say, you know, maybe somebody else could have done that, maybe should have done that, and probably maybe even could have done a better part of that. So I think that probably one of the things that I would say that has just been very helpful to me to do and to change has been to trust more people with some of the things that that are my responsibilities, but yet other people can do it. For example, I think probably the best example I could give is for years, you know, we've focused on leadership development in Lexington Association. Especially pastoral leadership development, and we've tried a lot of different things. Some things have worked well, some things haven't. But I've always felt like, hey, this is such a priority, so important. You know, I want to do it. So I've done it, and I've done it a lot of times. However, the last little bit of time, one of my staff members, in his own spiritual leadership growth, he became someone in whom it was very obvious the Lord was working in his life. And then one of our pastors who had actually gone through a revitalization process, I tell people, not only did his church go through the revitalization process, but he did. And so my staff member and this pastor teamed together and started doing pastoral leadership small groups.
That's great.
And I realized I needed to let that alone. I mean, they're doing a lot better than I ever did. And I just realized, you know, my inability to not delegate made it appear like I didn't trust. And I don't think it was because I wasn't trusting them. It's just that it's hard sometimes to let go.
Yeah.
But really now, I mean, I really enjoy going and learning from these two guys that have stepped up to the plate and done a phenomenal job. And
that's
so,
great.
But that's you know, been a significant change for me to just assume that I needed to do it, but now I realize I didn't need to do it, and certainly don't want to do it now, and don't need to take it back up.
Boy, I so appreciate that. And I, you know, as I'm listening to you two talk, I'm even seeing the commonalities in your own things that you're changing your mind on. Because in a sense, right, this idea that God doesn't need Jason to do everything for him, and this sense that we have of filling up the negative space mm-hmm. with positively everything in our life goes hand in hand with the whole delegation question, really. I mean, there's times in rest and peace mm-hmm. that God just wants us to rest and be in him and not do for him, and that's wholly different and awesome. But at the same time, sometimes we're just so busy too. We're filling in the space to be busy that God maybe wants to use somebody else. Mm-hmm. And there's a reflection in that in kind of what both of you said. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty amazing. Hey, thanks guys for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
For
you guys. Hey, again, our special guests today were Jason and Johnny Rumbo. And guys, again, thanks from the bottom of my heart. I really appreciate you guys coming in today.
Thank you so much for letting us be here. Absolutely enjoyed it.
God bless you, brother.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.